Coming up, it's At the Closing Table, the podcast where Ariel and Ashley talk all things real estate, from local market trends to first-time buyer tips and the stories behind every sold sign. New episodes drop the first Saturday of every month. Catch them all on the Reggae Rocks app or at reggaerockstx.com under the podcast tab. Now, let's head to the closing table.
So we were just talking about, you know, when we do these, we want to make sure that we are presenting the information without, what did you call it?
Industry terms.
Industry terms, right? We want to make sure that we are talking and explaining so that everyone can understand. But along with that comes not knowing sometimes what it is that you guys want to hear about.
Right.
Because we do it all day, every day. And sometimes we think, oh, that's not important, when really and truly that is the big, you know, elephant in the room, and we just don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and think how fast the industry has been changing.
Right.
You know, even in the last 6 months, it doesn't look quite the same.
No.
So, yeah, just let us know if there's something you want to hear about, an extra question you have.
Yeah, and then we can certainly address it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to hear from other people in our community, I think that's probably where we're going to go next. We've kind of had that conversation already about the fact, hey, let's bring in some guests because, you know, we like to chat. We have friends that do this, you know, are in this industry and they like to chat.
So yes.
I think we should too. Okay, so first, let's do a recap because we haven't sat down together. It's been a minute.
It has been September.
I don't either. I think it was the whole kids off to, I don't know what it was, but
my kids are super excited to be off to college.
I know, mine too. I'm telling you, this whole empty nesting thing is working out.
I know. I still have one at home, but he's never home because he doesn't like being an only child.
That's so funny.
Like, see ya.
Well, last night, Rick was like, okay, what am I going to cook for dinner? And I was like, I'm having yogurt. I mean, I just, so nice. And I was like, I don't know what you're going to have, but don't mess up the kitchen.
No, please leave it clean.
It's different. Yeah. It's different, but not, I mean, I miss my kids, of course, but I don't miss their mess. I'm going to not even lie about that.
No, and everybody said you'll miss this when they're gone. I don't miss that part.
The laundry. Stop it.
The machine, like she's like, what do I do now?
I know. Yeah, I don't even see her, but like once a week.
Yeah, the worst thing that's happened is my dog is depressed.
Aww.
She doesn't know, every time we leave to just, if I go to the grocery store, it's like she's panicked. Oh, I'll leave in two, because in succession everybody started leaving.
Poor thing.
I know, it's really kind of pathetic.
Well, is there anything else we want to talk about before we start in on our topic of the day?
No.
I feel like appraisals are doing better. We had that conversation right before we turned everything on.
You know, I feel, I don't know, I'm not a doom and gloom kind of person. That's not how I operate. Things feel better.
Yeah.
With the market.
Yeah.
It may not actually be doing anything, but it feels better. Interest rates have come down a little bit. They're still fluctuating. Obviously, they change regularly, so check with your lender. But I want to say conventionals are around 6.5.
Yeah.
And FHA and VA is around 6.25. Right?
So our phone has been ringing.
That's
now,
good.
I mean, there were really, there's been a hot minute where it did not ring.
Yeah.
So at least now people are calling and they've got a question about this. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about doing that. For months, nobody was thinking about anything. So
I don't think they knew what to think about.
Right. I think everybody's just scared.
Well, and so on one of the properties I'm working with, we had an appraisal last week. And that appraiser said he was shocked because he's doing a ton of purchases. Whereas I know that refinance, people were wanting to refinance their mortgage because interest rates had come down enough for them to justify that process. And it had been a couple years. And he wasn't doing a ton of those. He was doing a ton of purchases, which to me was really encouraging. Because obviously I don't see every single transaction.
Right.
So I don't know what's happening all over town. But to me, that said buyers are kind of ready to get going.
Yeah, I think they've been ready. I don't think the government shutdown is helping anything. I'll say that. But it hasn't really affected them. Yeah, it seems like where everybody's just going on.
Yes.
So, I mean, knock on wood.
I mean, yeah, if you work for the government.
Right.
But I don't remember it feeling quite as heavy as in years past.
I agree. I agree. We just get up and go do what we do because now we're like, we've been there, done that. We know what happens. Figure it out. Y'all do
Maybe
you.
Maybe that's age. Like, no one's going to die.
Okay, so I, you know, I have a friend that's a realtor, and last night we met for just a hot second for something random. But anyway, she said, hey, I heard that 1 in 8 contracts are terminating. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing? And I said, oh. And I started thinking about it, and let me tell you, I have had not quite that percentage, but pretty close. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is, and I may have already mentioned this, but I've had 3 more lately where they are, we get the contract, we start setting it up, we don't get earnest or option, and we get a termination.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? What is happening overnight? Yes. Literally, it's overnight. And that to me is just a sign that there is more than just the interest rates, right? Yes. Because they couldn't have had an appraisal. They couldn't have had a visit with their lender even, really. Because if we get it, I mean, so the one that I got that is top on my brain, it came into my email like Saturday at, I want to say 4 or something like that. And Monday, we already had the termination. And Monday was a holiday, so the banks weren't open.
Yeah.
So what happened? You know, I mean, it's just, it's consumer non-confidence in the market.
Probably.
I think.
Or it's competition. Because actually, it's the San Antonio area. I did read this, that San Antonio area has some of the highest contract termination rates throughout the country.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, you know, back in 2021 when buyers were putting in contracts on 17 homes just to try and get one.
Yeah.
I'm curious if buyers are putting contracts on houses because there's options and there's negotiating power.
And then they find another house that they like better, so they cancel.
Yes.
Oh, and that could, I guess, very well be.
But I don't know because I haven't experienced it. I've had very serious buyers who took their time to look
and find what they really wanted.
Find what they wanted, and then once they were certain, we've finished the process. But you've got a ton of options right now.
Yeah.
And you've got sellers who some need to sell, so you can get an incredible deal on a property.
Mm-hmm.
And
we also had that conversation last night. I said, you know, in all the years, I feel like now, if I was a buyer, if there was anything I wanted, now would be the time.
Yes.
Right? Because you can get what you want. You've got some negotiating power as a buyer. Mm-hmm. And we know interest rates at some point will come down and you can refinance. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of options because we've got lenders begging to lend money.
Oh, yes.
We've got realtors and sellers begging to sell the property.
Right.
So come in, make the offer, buy whatever it is, and have that conversation with your lender about recasting or, you know, hey, what if I want to refinance this in this amount of time? How can I do that without a ton more fees? And, you know, I mean, there are things that can be done right now that historically have not maybe been exactly the way we did things.
Yeah.
Because things are different and the market has to change. And we in this industry have to figure out how to flow with the needs of our customers.
Well, and I think the real estate industry is one of the most adaptable industries out there because there are so many factors that influence a successful transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And as there's also so much that we can't control.
Right.
So as things change, you have to make adjustments.
And there's so many players in the game.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you've got so many different areas to make it work for whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
So yeah.
No, for sure. For sure. So I mean, it's really sad that our area is experiencing so many canceled transactions.
I don't know. I'm glad to see that there are people out there trying to do something. I mean, to me, I like the idea of what you said about the fact that they're canceling because they find something that they like better. I know none of us want cancellations, but so long as they're staying in the market and not jumping out because something has scared them, that is what concerns me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for a long time, buyers were just scared, period.
Yeah.
Because I read this as well that, please don't hold me to my percentage points, but it was something like 54% of all homes in our country are owned outright free and clear of a mortgage. So why would you want to go sell that and get another mortgage? And then 40% of mortgages are at 3% or less.
Okay, so I wonder if you're the one that told me that, because I heard all of that too.
Yes.
Maybe you did. Maybe you're the one that told me. Or somebody else.
It's been all over the place.
Yeah.
There have been articles. I mean, I read articles about this in 5 or 6 different places.
Yeah.
Because you've got also the largest contingency of parents taking second mortgages or HELOCs out on their current property to help their children mm-hmm. purchase homes.
Yes.
To help buy down the price or just get them in a position where they can actually afford it.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of interesting as well, because I think what you will about it, you don't want to jeopardize your retirement.
Right.
To get your kid in a house, but to each his own.
If you've got it, do it. And I'm telling you, they are out there. I'm doing them. I know we've talked about it in previous podcasts, lots and lots of people. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is that I don't know what generation they are. I mean, are they boomers? Are they, I don't know if they're our, whatever generation it is. Their thought is that they don't want to be held down or hold their children down like their parents did to them. Mm-hmm. Why wait until you're dead to give your kids whatever it is that you're going to give them?
I think it's so smart. Think about it. Because you actually get to see the benefits of your gift. The child is getting to use it at a time when it's really needed. You know, I think about it, our age.
I don't need it now.
Well, shoot, yeah, I got to pay college. So by all means,
give me a gift. Well, I guess I do need it.
but, you know, think about it. Once the kids are out of college and at that time when most parents are slowing down or when they pass away, you're like, oh my gosh, I really could have used this.
Right.
When I was in the thick of
raising these kids mm-hmm. and trying to do all the things in college. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, so long as, you know, you've got a financial planner, we say this all the time, we're not financial planners, we're not lenders, we're not attorneys, but, you know, so long as you've got somebody guiding you and helping you figure out, okay, this is what you can and can't do. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you about the fact you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're, you know, working at 85 years old,
right?
You know, because you can't live off of Social Security or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a fine line there, and I don't know, I get it. But I also, as a mother of children, you know, that are in college and hopefully will graduate, fingers crossed, I would love the idea to be able to help them.
Yes.
You know, because we talk about, you know, Bernie and our kids coming back and, oh my gosh, how are they ever going to afford to come back here and raise their children and that kind of thing. You know, so if I had anything, which I don't, you know, that would be something I would love to do. But
yes,
it's
very interesting. And to be fair, we're not the most expensive part of the country.
Right. Right.
I mean, I think about the Northeast. I think about California and the north and the west, and you know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I think everything feels hopeful today.
I think so.
Which
today's hopeful.
Delightful.
And sometimes we're not that hopeful when we do our death and divorce and all of that. So hey.
That's what everybody loves us for. What are you talking about?
Let's take this hopefulness as a win.
Which is hysterical, because if anybody knows us personally, we are really not that serious.
So true. So true.
You just sound serious.
Yeah, some days.
Yeah. Well, you had a good idea. Talking through what it looks like.
Okay. Well, so I had this thought about the fact that, you know, we've talked about all sorts of different types of transactions. We've talked about what we see in the market. We've talked about so many different things, but we really never started with the basics, right? Like, what do we do? What's the process? What do you do within the process? Mm-hmm. What the lender does, us as the title company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, why don't we stop and kind of break it down
mm-hmm.
and talk about the processes, what the process is, and what each of, you know, us are doing within that process timeline?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, sometimes I think that we do talk above, right? If you're somebody who's buying their first house, or, you know, I mean, everybody doesn't do this all day, every day. And like you said about the jar, what did you call it again?
What?
About the company jargon.
Oh, yes, our industry speak or something like that, yes.
That's flipping my mind every time, but that, you know, where we, instead of starting at the beginning, we have jumped so far ahead, we've lost people.
Maybe, yes, because if you're not in a death or a divorce.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've had clients, and the, I mean, even if you have purchased a home in the past, they always want a refresher.
Absolutely.
And because things change, or if they're coming from another state, things are different here in Texas. You know, I look at myself. I mean, I'm a military kid who moved every 3 years. And then when I was an adult, I kept moving because I didn't know what else to do. But lo and behold, I found Bernie, and I am in the same house for 22 years.
Yeah, we just hit our 21-year mark. We've talked about that.
And I thought, if I wasn't in this industry, I'd have no idea.
Yeah.
What I should be doing to buy and sell.
Yeah. I mean, because we've talked about the fact that buying a home is number one, two, or three on the most stressful, right? It's death, divorce, buying and selling a house.
Yes.
And because you don't do it, I think that the industry average used to be every 7 years. I don't really know what it is now. It's got to be higher than that because people are staying put because of the market. But anyway, in general, it used to always be, you know, every 7 years. So you forget, and things do change. And then again, you know, talking about, so often people don't know what's happening behind the scenes. So let's talk about it.
I would say 90% of what we do, if we do a good job, no one has to know.
Yeah, we're like ducks.
It's so
calm
true.
On the surface and paddling like mad underneath. And that is so true. Okay, so I kind of thought I would... Well, maybe you want to start with the whole looking at houses and contracts.
So I will tell you, first and foremost, no matter what you're doing, who you're working with, talk to a lender first, because you want to know what your budget is. You want to know what a bank is willing to lend you, unless you're paying cash, which is fantastic, because nobody wants to go visit houses and fall in love with a house that they find out they can't afford.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, and a lot of sellers are now requiring people be pre-qualified, proof of pre-qualification, before they'll even let you see the home, depending on the price point.
I was just about to say that. Yes. I've had that multiple times lately.
Yes, yes. I would say anything, from what I've seen, anything multi-million for sure. But I've even seen it in the 800s now. I think sellers are like, look, please don't waste my time.
Yeah.
Just don't waste my time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that way you have that. And as an agent, I don't show people's homes unless we have that first. Mostly because the heartbreak of after the fact, people saying, oh my gosh, I can't afford this house. This is my dream home. I don't do that.
Here's a beautiful home, and now let's go two steps down.
Yes.
And now, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to get a lender, and you're going to, whether you stick with that lender or not, you just need to know what you can afford.
Right.
And most of that is online through an application process. And then you're going to sit down with your real estate agent, and you're going to go through the nitty-gritties of what do you want? How many bedrooms? What you're willing to compromise on, what you're not willing to compromise on, all that stuff, area, schools, all of the works. And then your agent's going to plug that into the MLS search, and you're going to start getting some stuff online, usually about here's, you know, 20 houses that fit your criteria, run through them. See what you like, see what you don't like. Because it's kind of a dating game in the very beginning.
That's funny. I love that.
Yes, because the agent, I mean, I've had so many clients who gave me very specific instructions on what they wanted, and we were ready to go. And lo and behold, they chose a house that didn't have but one of those specific instructions. Mm-hmm. Because once you're there, things feel different.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, I want 10 acres, but really, nope, you just wanted one. Yeah, and then you start. It's a getting to know you process between the buyers and your agent. And similarly, when you go to sell a house, when you help someone sell a house, you want to get to know what that seller's motivation is. What do they really want? Like, do they want a super fast transaction? And today we have these conversations all the time. You know, obviously pricing is a very huge factor in all of this. You know, my motto is if you want to compete, we got to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And this is where, when we were saying the market's changed so much in the last 6 months, even if you looked at a house last year, you cannot price a current home based on those numbers because it has changed so much. And really, especially if somebody's going to finance that purchase as a listing agent, you really need to do your clients a service and let them know, hey, look, we've got to price this competitively because houses aren't appraising.
Right.
If there are no comps, if an appraiser cannot find another house to judge yours against, well, we might have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, did I say that really fast?
No, I got it all.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, so, I mean, obviously it's a little different on the buyer's and the seller side, but let's say you got a willing buyer and a willing seller.
Okay. So we're married
we
now,
are,
right?
We have made a match made in heaven. And, you've got two real estate agents on either side because it's very rare that you have one real estate agent
right.
on both sides. It happens. And you say, okay, look, we're going to negotiate this. And I think that's where too, I was talking with someone the other day and their neighbor had done a for sale by owner and felt like they had just gotten screwed, like bad. And it was because they didn't know all of the things they could negotiate on.
Right.
And there's a lot. It is really not black and white. Even if you have that contract, you can negotiate your title policy.
Yes, you can negotiate it all. I had a call yesterday from the cutest little lady. And she's like, you know, I'm going to sell my house. And I said, okay, have you thought about getting real? She's like, well, you know, I sold a house 20 years ago. And I was like, okay. Really do yourself a favor. Get a realtor. And so we chatted about it. And she's like, oh, you're right. I do not want to have to keep up with the timelines. I do not want to have to. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a great conversation. And she was very receptive to it. Because once I said, somebody's got to do it. And I cannot do it.
Right.
She was like, okay.
Yeah.
So that is, to me, that was a win conversation because, you know, sometimes it doesn't go that way. And sometimes they're so adamant, oh, I can do this alone. But again, if you don't do this all day, every day, you don't even know what you're signing up for.
No, not at all. Because you can negotiate your days of your option period. You can negotiate your option fee. You can negotiate your closing date.
Yeah. But then even more importantly, if you don't have a realtor, who's watching all those timelines? Who's making sure that the lender has ordered the appraisal, that you've had the inspections done, that there is so much and people just do not understand that. And again, this goes back to the duck.
Yes.
Because if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, somebody thinks this is the easiest transaction that they have ever done. And it is not.
No.
Because there is somebody behind the scenes, you know, making sure all these timelines are met, making sure that all the negotiations are done, that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it looks like a super easy transaction, but that's not necessarily what happened.
No, not at all. And the other thing, too, is that we're starting to see, especially in those instances where somebody, like, instead of downsizing, they're upsizing, there's some negotiation with what I want to buy in terms of furniture.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know any agent that absolutely loves this because I am not a used furniture salesperson.
Right.
However, it's a big deal these days.
Yeah.
And it's a huge service to your clients on both sides.
Right.
If you can help walk them through that. Because it's not a yard sale.
Right.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
The furniture is one thing. And then if there's repairs and stuff, somebody's got to take, I mean, there's just so much. We could go on and on.
Yes.
And people just don't understand.
No, they don't. And I think, you know, good real estate agents are willing to maybe, it's not about hurting people's feelings. Obviously, you hire somebody who's going to get the job done. But being honest with a seller and saying, you've got to make this repair prior to even putting it on the market.
Right.
Or I am really sorry that you love this paint color. It's just not going to do it for a buyer. We need to be competitive. And being competitive doesn't just mean competitive on price.
And that is so true right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of other things to take into consideration. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got a contract.
Okay.
We're super excited.
Okay.
We're going to get this contract buttoned up. We're going to make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And then I'm sending it to Ashley.
Yep. So once we get the contract, then we start setting it up in our system. And literally we create a file and we say, okay, you know.
Vanessa just showed me what that file looked like. I said, oh, I don't want to know. I don't like, I don't like all those tabs. Thank you.
That's awesome. So we actually set it up, right? So we've got Sam Seller and Betty Buyer. We put all the information in because what we as the title company have to do is make sure that we go out and check everything, right? So we get it all set up and then we hold it.
Yes.
And we wait for the earnest money and the option money to come in.
Now, I will tell you, we had some very interesting, I had a transaction recently because your option money and your earnest money on the contracts is 3 days. Now, I can't tell you how many times that got messed up because of a Sunday or a buyer's out of town and they mailed a check and whatnot. We have a lot of foreign buyers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't like that amount of money that's coming through. Or there's something lost in translation. And I've had it where we had to split up the earnest money because... Mm-hmm. It just got lost in translation. So, yeah.
And those are all, you know, those are things that, gosh, you hope you don't have to renegotiate right there in the middle of everything.
Right.
Because ultimately, you know, the contract being signed, that's what makes the contract. Mm-hmm. But you know, that money coming in is what we hold.
Right.
And that is another thing that people get very confused about is earnest and option.
Yeah.
So earnest money is where you say, hey, in good faith, I want to buy this house. So I'm going to give you $5,000 and the title company is going to hold that $5,000. But when I go through with this purchase, I'm going to get a credit for that $5,000.
Right.
Right? Now, if something happens during this transaction and I can't qualify, I can't, whatever the case may be. Right. Then, depending on how the contract is written, sometimes the buyer just gets that $5,000 back. And sometimes it has to be negotiated and we have to have a release of earnest money to tell us what to do with that. But generally, if the contract goes through, then the buyer gets credit for that.
Right.
Now, option money. People get so confused about this.
Yes.
So the option money, it used to be that the earnest money was made payable to the title company. Yeah. The option fee was made payable to the seller. Mm-hmm. The seller took that $150, $1,000, $5,000, whatever was negotiated, and they deposited it. And they were never giving it back because that's what the option is.
Right.
It's what says, I have the option to terminate this contract within whatever number of days you guys put into that contract.
And usually that's 7 to 10 days.
Yep, generally.
Yes, because that during that option period, as we call it, and other states call it different names, but that's when you're going to get your inspections, you're going to negotiate any repairs that need to be done. There are very lovely instances when the appraisal actually happens during the option period. So you know if something's going south with an appraisal, you know, as a buyer, you're out $150.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's give two examples. The first example is the appraisal comes in, it doesn't meet, we're within our option period.
Yeah, you just say, okay, fine, the appraisal has come back X. And we can do the instance where it is dramatically different.
Yeah.
When it's dramatically different, a lot of times we'll just ask for another appraisal. Now, no buyer wants to pay twice for an appraisal because they're not cheap. However, in some instances, it's just the right thing to do. Now, if say that appraisal, well, if it's higher than what you've negotiated, you just say thank you and keep on going. But if it's a little bit lower, you can basically renegotiate the sales price. Because a lender's only going to lend based on that appraised value. So you can renegotiate the seller can say, no, you still owe me X amount of dollars. It might only appraise for this, which means you've got to come up with the difference in cash. But you're in your option period. And in the state of Texas, during your option period, you have the right to terminate for no reason at all.
At all.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's comforting for a buyer, not so great for a seller.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it saves some people some heartache. If you need to get out of this transaction, get out of it during the option period.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say you have your appraisal and the foundation is falling apart.
Ooh, Lord.
Yeah. So at that point, you can just say, as the buyer, you know what? I do not want this house. Keep my $150 or whatever my option money is. Give me my earnest money and you just part ways. And the buyer can do that without the acceptance, approval, anything of the seller.
Yeah.
Because they have paid for the right to terminate within however many days they gave themselves within that contract.
Right. Right. Okay? And you can actually extend the option period. I have had it where it needed to be extended because we needed additional information or we needed a second opinion on something. Or we just needed the time for the seller to be able to say, okay, yes, I can afford to make that repair or not make that repair.
Right. There's all sorts of reasons why it extends.
That's why you need a real estate agent so that you know you have the opportunity to extend certain days.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's rough. So.
Okay, so.
We've gotten through the option period.
All right, we've gotten through the option period. And so at this point, since we've got the earnest money and the option money, our file goes back to what we call abstracting. And that is where our examiner literally starts at the beginning of the property and researches it all the way to current date. Okay. And that's where we are looking for any liens, right? You borrowed money from Chase Bank, your normal mortgage. We're also looking for things like federal tax liens, abstracts of judgments, materialman's liens. I mean, there can be...
And those are when, say, for instance, somebody put a deck on your house and you didn't pay them. And they filed a lien against your property to try and get that money because you didn't pay for the deck that's now attached to your house.
Have I told you the story about the three stairs out the back of the house?
I don't know.
Okay. So I had a file where we got ready, you know, to close. I got a contract. We went through and looked, and we find a materialman's lien for $3,000. Okay. So we call the seller and we're like, hey, this dude, and a materialman's lien is an affidavit claiming a lien. It's not a true lien. Okay. It's just somebody saying that they're owed money. So I call the seller and the seller says, what? He didn't even do those stairs. I'm like, what did I tell you? Yes. Okay, Ariel's telling me I already told the story. Dude. Didn't come. Anyway, so long story short, because he had verbally asked for the stairs to be done, the contractor never did the stairs, never would return his call. He got somebody else to do the stairs. Well, the guy filed a lien because he didn't get paid for the stairs that he never did. So anyway, then that's all. You know, you have to take care of that. They have to work it out.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it has to get worked.
Okay. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for any issues, which that could also be corporate documents, trusts. Do we have all the interest of everybody in the chain? All of those kind of things.
Did you get divorced 20 years ago and your ex-spouse is still on the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living in a hut in Tahiti with no electricity or whatever. Okay.
No internet.
Yeah. So once that happens, we produce what's called a title commitment. Mm-hmm. Title commitment is our commitment to insure this property. Okay. So then we give, you know, all of the things in regards, and we'll talk about that maybe next time about the actual title commitment and what all it says.
It's very, I mean, I almost said it's fascinating. It's not fascinating.
Sometimes it's really not.
It's really not a fun read. Sorry, Ashley. It's not.
But it's an important read.
No. And I think a lot of agents don't read it.
Oh, so often, because I've gotten to where I make calls like this materialman's lien before I send it out, I sign the commitment and then I call the agent and I'm like, hey, this is what's going to be on there. She's like, oh, I'm glad you called me because I don't read the commitment more often than not. That's what they tell me.
Ashley has to call and tell me that there's no fences on the current certified survey that we have, which I didn't catch because the whole outline of the property is in dark and it's where the fences are, but it wasn't actually indicated that there were fences.
Yeah.
So my layman's understanding of what that survey was looking like. It's like, well, thank you so much for telling me because that really, really sucked if we...
Yeah.
And it was a certified survey.
Yeah.
Like a good survey. Just somehow the fences didn't make the legend.
Yeah. Okay, so while we're working on the title commitment,
The
agents are sometimes negotiating different things, and the lender at this point, because when we receive that contract, if we know who the lender is, we send it to them so that they can get started working on all of their processes, right? Yes. So while we're doing the commitment, the lender's out there, you know, ordering the appraisal, getting everything from the buyer to make sure that they've got all the tax stuff, you know, all the documentation that they need to be able to, you know, formally qualify them,
correct,
get through underwriting, take care of any conditions that need to be taken care of.
Yes.
So once the title commitment comes out and the appraisal has been received, then that's when we are all like, okay, we know what we're supposed to be doing. We've made it through. I call those like our big check marks, right? Our commitment is fairly clean. The appraisal made. And as nowadays, we as the title company have no idea what it appraised for.
Sometimes as an agent, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I will tell you the last three transactions, obviously, if you've got the seller, the buyer does not like to tell you exactly what the appraisal is. I mean, I've had it where it was significantly higher.
Right.
Or right at what we were selling for. And very few has it been under. Lately, we're seeing a lot of appraisals come in under,
yeah,
which is terrible.
So yeah. As a side note, just now when I said, you know, if we know who the lender is, then we send a copy of the earnest money contract. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that that earnest money contract, a copy is given to the appraiser. So
it is.
Yeah. So that's how they know exactly what they're supposed to be looking for. But that's not how it's supposed to work. They are supposed to do what's called an independent appraisal, right? Yeah. And they're supposed to, here are my comps, you know, three of them. Here's what I think. Here's the square footage. You know, I mean, their reports, if you haven't ever seen one, are very detailed. I mean, they're thick. Yes. And it is supposed to be an independent. They're not supposed to use the tax appraised value. They're not supposed to use the contract, but.
Well, I think too, some of it is, especially in a market where at certain price points, we don't have a lot of comps.
And movement, yeah.
And movement. House is worth what a willing buyer will pay for it, period.
Right.
And because if you pay cash, you don't get an appraisal.
I was about to say, that's the beauty of cash is, you know, if I want your house and I'm willing to pay $5 million and it's only worth four, well, here's my $5 million.
Right. And a lot of cash buyers are still getting an appraisal to make sure that they're not overpaying. But most times, no.
No. Yeah.
And the other thing, you were talking about the financing stuff. That's another component that's written into the contract. Because traditionally, you have dates when everybody signs the contract. And from that signing of the contract, everything is based on that.
And a timeline, very specific timeline.
Correct. And usually you put about 21 days for your financing because that gives the lender theoretically adequate time to get all of your documentation, your tax returns, your W-2s, the whole thing that you need to make sure that they can verify you qualify for the amount of money you want to borrow. And sometimes they don't get it done, which means you have to renegotiate and do an amendment to the contract to extend those dates. Because if you don't extend that date, you run the risk of losing your earnest money.
Right.
And this is where people really start to get in a bind.
Especially if you don't have a realtor. I mean,
yeah.
Average person has no idea about this.
No.
No idea about extensions. No idea about the consequences of not meeting the timeline within the contract.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot. We cannot stress enough how much it is and all the things that go into making a smooth transaction. It does not happen by accident.
No. And I mean, if you have two agents, if you have agents on both sides that are good communicators, you have a much better chance of making this
absolutely
work. So
absolutely.
The other thing that I think we rely on the title company, well, Ashley does keep me in check sometimes because it takes a village.
Yeah, it does.
Thing. But there's also communication with clients. You know, the title company is going to want to talk to the client once you get close. Once the appraisal has come in, usually that's like the, whew, okay,
mm-hmm.
We're going to be good. Barring anything crazy that the buyer does or crazy that the seller does, you know.
Right.
As a seller, please don't add anything to your house before closing. And as a buyer, don't go buy a car.
Right. Don't ruin your credit.
But then the title company is going to communicate with the buyer.
And the seller.
And because they're going to need to know who's your mortgage company.
Mm-hmm.
What's your payoff amount?
Have you made any changes to the survey? All of those kind of things.
Yes.
We're going to be asking all those questions. And with the buyer, we're going to be asking, have you ordered your home warranty? Have you, you know, right. all of those kind of things. So as we get down to the nitty gritty, right? This is what we call the settlement, you know, that the closing, right? So once we've hit all the major milestones, then we start prepping for, you know, making sure if you've got a lender that the lender has provided the closing disclosure 3 days in advance, right? They have all these rules and regulations.
That 3 days in advance will get you.
I know.
And there is zero reason for a lender to miss those dates. I would say, especially now.
Yeah.
You're not inundated. It's not 2021 or 2022.
Right.
Agreed. There is zero reason. Now, I have heard that lenders have made dramatic layoffs.
Yes.
Because the market slowed, they made layoffs, and they're basically working with skeleton crews.
And now they don't have the staffing to take care of all the files.
Which is really, really tough. So again, it's also really important to vet your lender.
Yes.
Get recommendations from friends.
Yes.
Just because you bank at a certain place doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go use them as your lender. It's convenient.
Right.
But, you know, talk to people, find out, you know, customer service is huge and we're all competing for business. So Right. Get a good communicative lender, somebody you can walk in and look at them face to face.
Right. And tell them what's happening.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that their agent can walk in and do the same thing, because an agent, I mean, we don't work with a lender in terms of helping you get approved, but we certainly advocate for our clients and help make sure that the lender's staying on time.
Right. We cannot stress enough the timelines and making sure, you know, that all of those things are happening when they're supposed to be happening.
You know, Ashley, you said something that spurred this, because I think a lot of times people don't really comprehend or take into consideration that they're signing legal documents. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything to be taken lightly.
No.
As a seller, if you decide, you know, I have this contract and I just don't want to sell my house, there are repercussions for that. I mean, legally, you owe your agent a commission.
Right.
Because they brought a buyer.
And you have a legal document saying that you are going to convey the property.
Correct.
And so many sellers do not understand that a contract is written for a buyer to be able to get out of the transaction, not a seller.
Right. And the buyer can sue you
for specific performance.
Yes. Which means you have to sell the house.
Yes. And I've actually had that happen twice in my 25 years.
God, that sucks.
It really does. Oh. It's ugly. It's so ugly.
Yes.
You know, because, I mean, the one that just pops out in my mind, we literally got down to the day of closing and the seller was like, you know what, we've decided we're going to stay in the house. And the buyer was like, oh, no, no, no.
Right.
I am going to move into this house. And so they go to court, and it was months and months and months. And I have no idea how much it cost, but the bottom line was the judge made the seller sell the property. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, then they wouldn't show up to convey. And so the judge was like, if you don't show up, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court and I'm going to arrest you and put you in jail and make you sign that. I'm like, oh my gosh, this was many years ago, but
yeah.
So I don't know if it would roll quite that way nowadays, but that's exactly what happened. And the seller came in and they executed. And I mean, it was months and months that I held that file and it just got fatter. And it was like, I needed a wheelbarrow with all the orders and, you know, all the stuff that was coming down through the pike.
Yeah.
You know, and the judges. So anyway, it does happen. So as a seller, you know, you need to be aware of that. And if you don't have an agent who's helping you, mm-hmm. then where are you going to end up if, you know, 2 weeks in you decide you don't want to sell your house? Yeah. I mean, you need to know before you sign that contract, you're selling this house.
Yeah.
all things go according to plan.
Yes. So let's get to like the last week.
Okay. So the last week, that's when we as the title company, if we have a lender, are working with them to get what we call balance. So mm-hmm. when the whole mortgage meltdown happened, things changed drastically.
Yes.
So it used to be that we as the title company prepared both the buyer's closing statement and the seller's closing statement. Well, once all the shenanigans went down and all the new rules and regulations were put into effect, the lender now prepares the buyer's closing disclosure, and we as the title company prepare the sellers, which means we have to go back and forth and back and forth mm-hmm. to make sure that everything balances. Because, you know, any of you that have done a closing, you know that closing disclosures and the old HUD statements are all done like balance sheets, right?
Yes.
So you've got all your fees, and then you have debits and you have credits. The debits that are seller credits, the debits that are buyer credits. So you literally have offsetting debits and credits.
Yes.
And it is very confusing. And even more so now that they've taken the ability for us as a title company to do it all away.
Yeah.
Because you've got lenders that now, you know, everything has to balance. And it's quite the production, although it's now been long enough that we've got it down
right.
to a fine size. I mean, used to, it would take 2 or 3 days to get balanced. And now it might take back and forth 2 times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very, we've got it down.
Well, and the other thing too is that most all of that information links back to that contract. And so as an agent, we go through that closing statement just to make sure nothing gets missed. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, what is it? It's the home warranty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where is it on the statement? As well as being able to explain it to your clients. Because again, I mean, there's only so many CPAs in the world, and even probably less realtors
right.
or people that buy and sell all the time. So my clients, they rely on myself and the title company to help walk them
through their statements. Right, because I don't know what they're looking for. No. I mean, generally, now there are some that are very savvy, and I get that. But let me tell you what we have happen periodically when we don't have agents on a file. Mm-hmm. So we get down, we've got a balanced closing disclosure, and then we send it out, right? So the day before closing is always the hope that everybody gets to see a final copy of the closing statement. The seller can see exactly what they're going to get. The buyer sees exactly what they need. And we're always hoping to have that a day in advance.
Yeah.
Okay. Please. So everybody gets the closing statement and bring, bring, the phone rings, and it is the seller. And they're like, hey, the buyer was going to buy $5,000 of my furniture. Or the buyer calls and says, hey, the seller was going to give me $6,000 for repairs. Okay. Back up.
Yeah.
That is going to change the closing statement to the extent it will have to go back through the lender.
Yeah.
Everything will have to go back through underwriting, and we will not be closing tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an agent who's making sure all of those things are on the closing statement and that the title company and the lender are aware of all of these negotiations, then we have hiccups at the end, and nobody likes a hiccup.
No. And most of the time when you're buying furniture, we're going to tell you to do a bill of sale.
Yeah. And we're going to tell you to do it outside of closing.
No lender wants to hear that you're doing that.
Right. Please. They don't want it to look like a portion of their loan could be correct. Purchasing anything that's not real property.
Yes.
But yes. It happens. I'm just saying.
But then once we've got everybody signed, I mean, most of the time, everybody is just ecstatic.
Yeah.
And, like Ashley said, most people don't have a clue the amount of work that goes into getting a transaction from a contract signed to the closing table.
Yeah.
And frankly, real estate agents and title companies don't actually get paid. So this is the caveat to all this, is we don't make a dime until it gets closed
right.
and funded, which makes us a little bit crazy people, I think. Like, who does that? But
yeah.
You got to love being of service to others.
Yep. We call it an opportunity loss when they work on a file for 6 months and then bam, it terminates or whatever happens. Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell.
That's it in a nutshell. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Closing in a nutshell. And I know y'all don't have a visual of this, but on our website, it's kcac.net, we actually have a cute little chart that literally lists out exactly what's happening. So it says contract sign, and then it says, you know, what the title company's doing, what the realtor's doing, and what the lender's doing. So if you want a visual of kind of what we were talking about, it's on our website. You can go look at it.
Yeah, and it's well done. Thank you.
Why, thank you.
Yes, very well done.
All right, so I think we've covered everything.
We did. We had lots to talk about
today. We did have lots to talk about, and we're going to talk about the commitment next time.
So get ready. It's about deciding his death and divorce.
Exactly. Just if you kidding. Need a nap, just come to our next podcast. Hopefully it won't be too boring, but I feel like it's important for people to know what and understand what they're seeing.
Of course. 100%. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So again, Reggae Rocks Kendall County. If you want to reach us on Facebook.
At the Closing Table. It's our Facebook page, @closingtable@gmail.com or @closingtable on Instagram. Otherwise, you can Google us. We're not really that hard to find. Ashley Pfeiffer and Ariel Brooke Stevens.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine asked me the other day if I ever Googled myself. And I was like, well, no, why would I? She's like, oh, you should.
I Ooh. Did. Did you know that? Yes. But do you know that Brooke's Running Shoes has an Ariel model? Yes. So I get a lot of shoes.
Okay, that's funny.
Yes.
I haven't done it. I keep meaning to do it, but I'm scared. I'm scared of what I'm going to see out there. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Yes. Until next time.
All right.
All right.
See you later.